Now, I am from the south side of Chicago. I am more a city boy than a country boy. Even though I moved out to Roscoe, I was a little closer to the country at that point. There was two farms right behind me, but I'm still more of a city boy from my perspective. So when I'm told this story, you know, some of this comes from my own ignorance. There's a farmer tells me a story. He was helping one of his cows give birth one day. And he has something called a calf puller. Now, I've never seen one up close, but lots of people are familiar with a calf puller. It assists in the birth of this newborn calf. And it was coming out backwards. It was not coming out head first, but actually kind of rear end first. And it was a difficult pregnancy. He was having a difficult time with it. And the man was driving along, and he pulled off to the side, and he ran over to the farmer, and he said, "Do you need help?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do need help with this." And they started working on this, and it was still several hours, and they finally got this calf born. And of course, it was messy. It was a lot of mess, and so the farmer offered to go back, you know, take the man back to the farmhouse to get cleaned up. And the man, you know, graciously agreed because, you know, obviously it was a big mess, and so he started heading back, and they got to the farmhouse, and they started cleaning up, and the farmer asked him, he said, "Now, I'm sure it was kind of a new experience for you." He goes, "Oh, yeah, it was. I've never seen anything like it before." And he said, "Well, do you have any questions about what just happened?" And he said, just one, actually. "How fast do you suppose that calf was going in order to get stuck on a cow like that?" I think it's very important, as well illustrated by the story, I think it's very important to stop and reflect that perspective means everything when we're trying to understand something. That a change in perspective can actually completely alter how we see what's going on. And how we might state an idea one way, how we might see something in one light, if we don't actually consider the other side of that perspective, it can be very confusing. It can be as ridiculous as either giving birth to a calf or having a calf apparently get stuck in another cow. I mean, this is the unusualness of a change in perspective. And why do I bring that up? Well, today we celebrate this incredible solemnity of Christ the King. We celebrate this incredible solemnity of Jesus Christ literally as King of the universe, King over all. And a true mark of irony, and I mean this, in a true mark of irony, we express Christ's greatest moment of kingship on the cross. In that moment of death. In the place of his execution. When what we see is a man dying. A criminal being executed for a capital crime with a capital punishment. And if we change the perspective, it can mean something different entirely. Consider the role of the Jews for a moment. The role of the Jews as they stand there, what they do is they walk by and they see the weaknesses of the man. They see the weaknesses of an individual dying. He's hanging up on the cross. He's dying. He's like anyone else. There is nothing special to mark him. There is nothing special to set him apart. He is just a criminal. And they hear the words that he said. He saved others. He called himself the Christ, literally the anointed one. Who is the anointed one? The one anointed for some special purpose. Whether priests or kings, they were both anointed. Obviously, if he calls himself the Christ, that meant he was the anointed one. Not just one of the anointed, but the anointed one. This great, wonderful individual. And instead, look at him and die. But if we change the perspective, and we look at it from the other side, what we see is one looking out over the crowds, looking out over all of the people that he cares for. It's interesting about the perspective, because when you change that perspective and you actually consider the other side, it completely changes the dynamic of what's going on. And we have it voiced. We have it voiced very clearly for us in this gospel. Because it's expressed in the two thieves. One on either side. It's interesting that we call them thieves. I always kind of have to laugh that we call them thieves. You know, we call it the good thief and the bad thief. Because this is a capital punishment. They probably did something worse than theft. They could have been murderers or any number of other things. These were capital crimes. Now, if they stole something big enough, it would have been qualified as capital crime, but here they stand. And from their perspective, they see the same thing that Jesus can see. They can see the crowd, but they see the people jeering at them. They see the people criticizing them and yelling at them and pointing out their failings as they stand there on the cross and die. And they express very clearly the two vantage points. One says to the Christ, if you're so great, if you're everything that they say you are, if you are this great anointed one, save us. Take us down from this cross right now. Allow us to be healed. And the other, he sits in the exact same place. Granted, he's on one side of Christ as opposed to the other. But he has the same viewpoint. And yet, from his perspective, he says, wait a minute. I die for a crime I have committed. I am guilty of something, they found me guilty, and now I'm being executed. But this one, what crime did he commit? What evil did he do that he is being crucified for? And what does he say? And I'm fascinated by this. What does he say? He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Whenever that time comes, way off in the distance, should that ever actually occur somewhere out there in a distant reality, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the drastic shift from an idea that maybe one day he might be saved, to Jesus addressing him directly and says, today you will be with me in paradise. It's all about the perspective. For the perspective of the good thief, they even see. He sees that he did this wrong. He knows that he's out. He knows that he shouldn't. He has no reason to think that anyone would ever forgive him. He's done wrong and he knows it. And in his honest admitting, he says, I know I'm doing this wrong. But if you could remember me at some point in the future, to have a little pity on me, and how truly staggering it would be for Jesus to respond, not some point in the future, not some distant reality, not some far off world, but today, you will be with me in paradise. It's all about that perspective. Today we celebrate the King of the Universe. As Americans, we have a democratic system. The idea of a king, it's kind of alien to us. It really is. We can read about it in our history. We can read about the King of England. But even that relationship of a king, it's still an alien idea to us. It's been 200 years. I don't think anyone here was alive to experience the Great Revolutionary War. So I'm pretty confident saying that it's an alien idea to us. And one of the perspectives of the modern world, one of the ideas that's forwarded and shared in the modern world is this idea that a king is the one who has unlimited power and can do anything that he wants. And that is horrendously misleading. That is the role of a dictator or a despot. A king is the one appointed to be at the service of his people. Genuinely the king as he is truly called, genuinely the king as they are, is at the service of the people that he has. Is at the service of the people that are entrusted to him. So when we speak of Christ as King of the Universe, we shouldn't have this reticence of a fear of a despot. We definitely have no reason to fear some dictator who will try and take away our freedom and control our lives and ruin everything about it. But rather, quite the opposite, the truly appointed good king, and honestly, if we can't trust God to be our king, who would we be able to trust to be our king? The one who is at the service of his people. Now, does that mean the king is powerless? Hardly. It doesn't mean the king has no power. It doesn't mean that the king can't do incredible things. Quite the contrary, because he's at the service of the people, he exercises the good judgment to do what's best for them, to long to do what is best for them, even when it's unpopular, even when it might not be favored, even when it's frustrating, even when it might seem in the short term to be harming.
It is always entrusted to the king to do what's best for his people. And so it is that we celebrate at the very end. And this is the end. This is the last Sunday before the end of the calendar year. Next Sunday we'll start Advent. It will be the new year in the church. I know the new year in the calendar is a couple of January, but believe it or not, next Sunday is the new church year. At the very end, we remember one very important thing. Christ is our King. Throughout the year, we might remember him as the shepherd who guides that sheep back safely. We might remember him as that friend who we trust in and confide in and pray and ask for all kinds of counsel and guidance. We might remember him as the one who leads, as the one who guides. We might remember him as the innocent lamb who is slain for us. We might remember him as the great giver of healing and miracles and gift and light. But here at the end, as it all comes together, never forget that he is our King. And if we have that trust, if we can have that detachment that says, I will put my trust in God, and truly reflect in our faith that we stand with God from now until he comes again, crowned in glory and all his splendor. If we can truly let go of our fears, then we can turn them over to the one who is at the service of his people. Never forget that God wants us to turn ourselves over to him so that he might help us, not ruin us. So that he might guide us, not confuse us. So that he might guard us, not hurt us. And that while we might have fear of that unknown, of truly letting go for God, of truly committing ourselves to him, never underestimate it. All power and authority has been entrusted to him. And he who knows everything, he definitely knows what we need. If we entrust our cares to him, we cannot be led astray. Today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. Will we trust him to do that role for us?